But our text tonight is Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 14. This is part two of the sermon that we started this morning, High Time for America, part two. Before we read our text, though, I come across something that was written, that is written, should I say, on the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C. It says, God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that His justice cannot sleep forever. That's powerful. I'm glad it was put up way back then, because if it was up to today, they wouldn't be there. So I'm so glad of that. But let's look here now at Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 14. It's our same text as this morning. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now shall we pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to look into your word this evening. I pray that you'd help it to be clear, understandable to everyone that's here this evening. And again, if there's one without Christ, I pray that they'd come to know Christ as Savior. On the other hand, I would pray, Lord, that your name would be ultimately glorified and uplifted in this message this evening. Edify the saints, prepare the hearts of the saints, and direct us by thy Spirit tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, this is the second half, of course, of the sermon from this morning. The sermon this morning I checked just before I come in this evening, and it is already on the website. So if you missed it this morning, you can go back and listen to it off our website. It is there. This one tonight will be up there tomorrow morning, Lord willing. But this morning I spent time on the teaching of our text, and we got into word studies and just some things that words and phrases there meant. Tonight, we want to show the truth of our times by the text. Now, I could use the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2. It's probably something that would just, if you read it, you'd say, was that from 2,000 years ago, or was this just written? Because many of the things that we see there are quite true that are going on today. So the first time we saw that we saw that the time here in verse 12 means, or verse 11 means the season. The season. But high time meant that the time to act is right now. There's no delay. The coming of the Lord is near. When we first got saved, we realized that the day of the Lord is near and that we would be accountable before God. But now that coming is soon. We'll give an account to Him. We need to be serious about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were told there to wake, that is to be alert. We are to separate from the world, but we are to separate unto God. It doesn't mean anything to separate from the world if you don't separate unto God. We are to separate from the old man, but separate to the new man. We're to separate to righteousness and true holiness. But we're not to separate unto, but rather from religious patterns and styles of the day, but separate unto the Word of God. That's what we're to do. Now, as we look tonight at the truth of our times by our text, there must be distinction from the emulation of the world in these last days. We want distinction, not emulation. There's a great difference. So much today seeks to emulate the world. That's not our goal. That's not what we should do. We're not here to emulate the world. Rather, we are here to be separate from the world, but separated unto God in these last days. Now, as I said this morning, political correctness has hit the churches. Now, it's not the same as your liberal politicians would proclaim, but nonetheless, it is political correctness. No matter how you look at it, it is political correctness in the church. We may not be the same thing as they say, but we have the same attitudes. For an example, the law of political correctness says every religion, as well as every denomination within Christianity, must be labeled as valid. And no religion, no church or doctrine as false. Calvinism is false. It's false. Now, it has some elements of truth in it. That's the deception of it. I've already had a Calvinist email me today for the sermon this morning, I guess. The tongues movement is wrong. And while we're on, I don't pray and we don't pray to Mary, and we don't expect some priest to forgive our sins. We believe that Jesus Christ rose up from the dead physically. Not some just spiritual resurrection, as many of the liberal theologians try to tell us. We believe Jesus is risen. Islamics say, no, He never rose from the dead. We believe that Jesus Christ was God come in the flesh. Judaism says they're still waiting for that Messiah to come. Now, they say don't call it false, don't call it invalid, but my friend, if they continue in that direction, they're going to go to hell. And how is it compassion to accept that as valid when it's going to lead a soul to hell? They say, well, that is working of love. Well, where is that love when we tell them all those things they've just said is invalid? That love is suddenly out the door. When we say that the Word of God is word for word, the Word of God breathed out by His Spirit to each writer so that they would write down the exact words of God, and then since then God has preserved them. I'm amazed at people that claim to be conservative Christian theologians, and they'll say, well, I believe that God created the heaven and the earth, but for some reason or another, God lacks the ability, the power, the strength, and the know-how to preserve His Word. Their doctrine doesn't even make sense. By the Word of God, we know that the contemporary is abominable to God because our God is holy. We are to be separated from the world. We are to be separated unto God. It is a shame when people who claim to be Christians cannot see the problems about us and then realize, well, it's about high time to awake from the morass and sleep of our swampy Christianity. Washington is not the only swamp that needs to be drained. The church, local churches need it. I remember a few years ago, many preachers were, and it wasn't that many years ago to be honest with you, were concerned about the moral decline in this country. They were upset about things as abortion, giving condoms to children. And yet, they would bring in different people and they would speak against those things, but now, they don't want anything said about it in the church. Same churches, and many times the same pastor. You know why? Because they got some feedback that they didn't like. It's interesting. I read this, and let me just read it to you as I got it. I got this. This is, it was off the internet, so everything on the internet is true, okay? But since it was in several news accounts, let me just share this with you. The World Organization of the Scout Movement, of which the Boy Scouts of America is a member, is requiring that condoms be provided for all attendees of its annual 12-day camping conference. The 24th World Jamboree is to be held next year at the Summit Bechtel Reserve in West Virginia. They must now ensure that condoms are readily and easily accessible for all participants and IST staff at a number of locations on the site. Heads of contingents must be informed in advance and made aware of their responsibility in communicating this policy to their participants. Unit leaders, contingent staff, IST staff, and all must be led in an appropriate way on this issue, the guidance states. Instead of promoting the Boy Scout motto, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country to obey the Scout law and to help other people at all times to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake. Listen to this next part. And morally straight. The organization is anticipating sexual encounters between minors. Where's the outcry in the media about that? Where's the outcry in the churches about it? Why not speak against these things and let it be known? There are a lot of folks that don't, what I just read to you, haven't heard about it. They just haven't heard. But it's going on in our country. That's what's happening. And churches don't care. How many churches at one time had Boy Scout troops? Now, are they going to compromise to keep the troops that they might keep some people in their church? What a shame. Verse 13 is right. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. There are too many hireling preachers that simply are not walking honestly. Rather, adopting a toddler attitude and toleration of sin. And therefore, they won't walk, they won't talk against these sins. Now look, Brother Frank spoke of his brother who died in 1944. World War II. We can go back and talk about Valley Forge. We can talk about things in World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. I have a hard time seeing any of those fighters dying saying, oh boy, I get to die so Boy Scouts can be perverted. I don't think any of them shed their blood that homosexuals can get married and we can force bakers to be sure that they make cakes for those sodomite marriages. Satan's strategy seems to be to put people with money in churches in order to shut their mouths. And the hireling preachers who allow the roaring lion to come in and devour the sheep stand by and say nothing. But they're devouring the lives of your children. At first, politicians and preachers were speaking of the moral man that we need to elect. But now, they aren't saying anything. They shut it out in fear. They'll be perceived as unloving. They're afraid that they'll be tolerant, the thought of by the world as intolerant. How has it affected us? Churches are changing their names. They're afraid to have grace on the sign. They're afraid to have faith on the sign, the word of life on the sign, word of God on the sign. They're afraid to have Bible on the sign. They're afraid to even have church on the sign, Baptist on the sign. Why? Because they have bought into the theology of the devil. Now let me tell you something. If all of those words are so scary to people and that's the reason they're taking them down, if you want the scariest house on Halloween, put those words up on your sign. Signs of those words up on your yard. Faith. Grace. Boy, if you put Jesus Christ on there, people would be falling over dead. They'd be so scared. Yeah, isn't it stupid what they're doing today? In a dark world, it's a race between whether or not the politicians or the churches will be the darkest. And that is evil. Now, they can change the name and maybe draw crowds as a result, but the hearts aren't being changed as churches grow worldly and the environment of the church becomes more corrupt and we're training people to say a prayer, but there's no repentance and faith. That's not salvation. That's simply not salvation. Instead of getting mad at the preacher who preaches against it, because your children have been taken in by these things that are going on today, why not provide some strong leadership in your home? Having done all to stand, withstand the counterattack of the devil, and you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and resist the devil. We live in an age of compromise. We have weak, spineless Christianity that is seeking to pull us along with it. We absolutely must develop. We must absolutely, I say absolutely, develop the capacity to resist such an abominable pool. No matter who goes with them, no matter how isolated we get, no matter how tired we get of taking a stand. Now, don't get me wrong. We do this in love. We do this in love. But understand, we don't go by the world's definition of love. We don't go by the religious liberal definition of love. We go by the Bible love. Did anybody love more than Jesus Christ? Of course not. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Well, just think of Jesus Christ. He called them vipers. In Matthew 23, in his sermon, vipers, hypocrites, whited sepulchres, serpents, fools, blind. He said, well, boy, that sounds unloving. Look, I seem like a dove compared to the way Jesus preached and Paul preached and others preached. So why did they preach that way? Because people have to see they're sinners and they need a Savior. And if they don't see they're sinners, they're just joining a religious club. They don't come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. They go to hell. They love us until they get to hell. And then it's too late. Don't be afraid to take a stand. And by the way, if they think that is so wrong to name sin, one of the emails today was about that. You shouldn't name sin. And they particularly pointed out homosexuality. Shouldn't name it. And I think they're right. I'm not going to name homosexuality. I'm going to call it what the Bible calls it, sodomy. But nonetheless, regardless of what you call it, it's wrong. It's sin. It's abominable before God. It's evil. But what they're doing is saying you shouldn't preach against it. They're saying, okay, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost made a mistake in 2 Timothy 3:16 through chapter 4, verse 4, when he said, preach the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort, do it with all long-suffering and doctrine. When he told them to name sin and to rebuke them because they no longer endure sound doctrine. When he told them all of that, what they're doing is saying, well, God got it wrong. Now, if you have any ounce of wisdom and understanding in your mind, I wouldn't say that to God. Not in my mouth, nor by my action. It is time for the local church to quit being the cheerleaders for the immoral and indecency of this world. It's high time we change. You know, for many years, I placed on the wall, and I do that quite sometimes. That's one of the things I like about having Randy here the last two times. I haven't had to do that. I'd spend 2 days calling all the campaigns. He knows things about them that I had no idea about. I'd call them up, ask them questions, all kinds of questions. It'd take 2 days, about 8 hours a day to do that. And then I wasn't sure I was getting the right people, and sometimes I didn't. Yeah, by their answers, I did. But I would put those ballots up there on the wall. Now I get him to fill them out for me, so we can get mad at him now. But we put those up there. I was doing that in my first church, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. Even into this 21st century. But I'm saying all that to say, we got some good men that we thought were good men and the right men elected, but it has not brought an ounce of change in the morality of this country. Why? Because we thought that politicians could do what the parents are supposed to do first in their homes. It's the parents first, and then the church should be pushing that as well. It's not government's job, it's our job. And it's high time that we wake up to assume the responsibility God gave the church and don't put it off on the government. That's not government's job. So that's a shame. It's a great shame. Let's look at verses 1 through 7 of this chapter. Romans 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God unto thee for good, but thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Wherefore, if you need to be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Look, those in leadership, it can be the president, it can be the governor, it can be the mayor, it can also be the policeman that's pulled you over. Do you realize who was heading up the government when that was written? Nero. One of the most wicked, evil rulers. He's the guy that took Christians and made candles out of them, poured oil over them, and lit them to have light in the evening. God, in the Old Testament, about 600 to 700 years earlier, told Israel, you better submit to Nebuchadnezzar, one of the most wicked, evil kings to have ever been. You say, why is that? Because God designed government to be a protection for our properties, to be a protection of our lives, to stop those that would break the law. Somebody says, I'm tired of policemen when they shoot children. So am I. So why don't you teach your children that when a policeman tells you to stop, stop? Why not tell your children that when they shoot at policemen, they're going to shoot back? Now, that's common sense. That is common sense. But you see, this country has gotten to the point that to a lot of people, that just doesn't make sense. Let's wake up. Wake up. God did not ordain government to fix the moral and especially the spiritual problems of any nation. Government cannot fix these problems because it is a reflection of the people, and we are all sinners. We are all putting sinners in charge of government, thinking that if they are good men and women, if they are moral, maybe even religious, regardless of their doctrine, then we'll be a better people. As I said, that started in the late 70s. About moral issues. It sounded good. And some of those men stood on those moral issues. But you know what? When they have lobbyists giving them millions of dollars to vote the other way, they can say what they want to at home. Man, I'm glad he stands that way. You better look at how he's voting or not there when they do vote. It may tell you a whole lot about him. Our problem is that we are in a world that is at war with God, and we're at a point in which we see God has turned us over to ourselves. What we are seeing in America is what happens when we turn to the flesh to accomplish the work of God. We want to be loved by the world. Jeremiah chapter 48 verse 10 says this, cursed. You know, when God says cursed, you're cursed. He says, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. This is what we got to do to win them, other words. Be the world. Be like the world. But he doesn't stop there. And cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Now, by the way, for the Christian, the sword is the Word of God. We attack sin, we attack Satan, we attack the flesh with the sword of God. That's our job. Government's not going to do it for you. They weren't ordained by God to do it for you. Parents, you were ordained first in your home, and the church is ordained to do it in this community. It is high time to awake. Today the world says, take away the guns. Yet more knives kill people in the USA than guns. But with the internet and other available media that is out there, if you took away the guns, they learned to make bombs. instead of shooting a few kids, they blow up about 100 of them. Now, friend, God is not mocked. Our society has been mocking Him for some time. And what are the results? You see, the problems are not guns. The problem is parents who have failed to teach morals to their children. Look, many of us that are gray up here, or the yard's been mowed up there. But we remember that even unsaved parents had moral children. They taught morals. They lived morally. But parents have failed to teach their children morals, let alone bring them to Christ. Child gets in trouble at school, they want the teacher arrested instead of saying, well, you have embarrassed my child. You need to say to your child, you've embarrassed your family name. You older folks remember, you got paddling at school. That didn't hurt near as much as the one you got at home. Not even close. A government that has an educational system that kicked God out in 1962 is seeing the results of that today. The collapse of the family. I want to say something that will... What I'm going to say now will make your children, if they're in here, unhappy with me. And I would go as far to say it'll make many parents not happy with me. You ready? Cell phones. Now, look, I understand. Well, you know what? I want to keep up with my children. I want to know where they are at all times. I want to see what's happening. I understand that. I really do. Why can't you have a flip phone? Why do they need internet and access to pornography and everything that's evil in this world? They don't need that. Give them a flip phone if you're worried. They can call you when they're in trouble. And you can call them when they're not where they're supposed to be. Don't think that your child with the internet on a cell phone will not be affected by it. Look. Can I just be out and out straightforward with you? But that teenage boy and girl is just a hormone looking to happen. And you think that when the biology kicks in, they're strong enough to be so spiritual? They won't be. You're their parent. You're to guide them in the paths of righteousness. If you don't like that, write Kevin. I've got enough mail coming in that's negative. Too many think that what I just said is terrible because your children would not like you or think that you're not cool. To maintain that what you are willing for them to think about you, you want them to think you're cool, you're the with it dad, you're the with it mom, you want to keep that up. Keep it up. You'll either see your child or you'll see your grandchildren in hell, but at least you kept it up. Now, it's time to awake out of sleep, America. It is time to stand up for Jesus. It is time for the church to wake up. What has gone on has led to interchangeable parents for children, and they're teaching them that sexual expressions is good for society and life. It's good for society and life, and yet they don't mind killing babies in the womb, which is cold-blooded murder, in my opinion. And God's, may I add. Let me be clear. I don't really care how many hate this sermon. I'm getting old as dirt anyway. I mean, if you get 70, I got 1 year to go. But you know, people go home with a sermon like this and run it down to their children. Run it down, talk about it, run it against, speak against it. You can go home and do that tonight. And then they can join you in rebelling against God as well. Look, one day I'm going to stand before God and give an account. It's not going to be your opinion on this sermon. It's whether or not I preached it. And He's the one I've got to answer to. Did I preach this truth? By the way, this past week on WTYG, I said on WTYG. Brother Marcus will say amen when I say WTYG. But there was I was driving down the road and Fortress of Faith was on. And they were talking about school shootings. I didn't have pencil and paper to write it down, so I had to try to memorize this. So if some of this is wrong, they did give their website at the end. And you can go to the Fortress of Faith website, and he said they were going to put it on their site. So I'm going to give you, I think it's pretty close though, if it's not right. In the first 198 years of this country, there were 122 school shootings with 105 killed. The first one was in the late 1700s. It was an Indian attack. And the Indians, or I guess I'm supposed to say Native Americans, so I don't offend anybody. But nonetheless, the Indians attacked and killed adults and children. For the most part after that, it was adults coming and killing adults. They report that some of the children that got killed, it happened as a result of having a school play, and somebody thought they put blanks in the gun. Instead, there were real bullets. And that just didn't happen once or twice. That happened several times. And children got killed. And so, in the first 198 years, there were 122 school shootings. But 1962, America decided to kick God out of the schools. In 56 years since, there's been 376 attacks, resulting in 500 killed and 800 wounded. How does 198 years with 122 school shootings and 105 dead, how does that compare with 56 years? And you see 500 killed and 800 wounded. With 376 attacks. It's high time for the American Christian that we stop making the same mistake as they did in the Old Testament. In Hosea chapter 8 and verses 2 through 4 says this, Israel shall cry unto me, My God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold had they made them idols, and they cut it off. Israel saying, God, why are you allowing this captivity? Why are you allowing all these things to happen to us? He said, wait a minute. You left me. Remember King Josiah, when he realized God was going to judge Israel, he repented, and he went to work. I mean, he was destroying idols and everything else. God says, I'm going to still take Judah. into captivity, but I'm going to wait till after Josiah is dead because he's a righteous man. America's not still going because we're righteous. But maybe God will spare for a while if the church will wake up. If parents will wake up in the home and do what they're supposed to do. Let's close this out by looking in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Just quick comments here as we go from Romans 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, been understood by things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. We can see the creation of God. Even though we can't see God, who is the Spirit, we can see the creation. But because we can see it, He says, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Their vanity, in other words, became most important. And when your vanity is more important than the spiritual, you are walking in darkness. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God, into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and the four-footed beast, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They changed the truth of God into a lie. He says, thy word is truth. You have over 200 new English translations translated from the wrong manuscripts. That's what happened then, and they're trying to do it again. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, having the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. By the way, for the dummies that say that homosexuality is only in the Old Testament preached against, did you just hear those two verses? Now, they're not the only verses in the New Testament, but I think you ought to know that. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That's talking about the Holy God. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I remember years ago hearing preachers say, homosexuals can't be saved because God gave them up. Well, here's another group that God gave them up. Notice that verse 28 is the end. There's a semicolon, not a period. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. If that other phrase means that a homosexual can't be saved, all those I just read can't be saved either. Don't just take part of the Bible and say, this one's true, and that part I don't care for. He says, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Do you have pleasure in them that do them? He said, not me. Well, what's entertaining you on television? What kind of people are entertaining you? You may have pleasure in them. What are the solutions then? First of all, personal prayer and Bible. Get in the Word of God. Waking up from laziness about the things of God and get to know His person. You can know the person of God. Look, we can have a classroom with 30 kids. And let's just say that we're one of the kids. 30 in the classroom. That kid gets to know five of those guys real good. He knows about them, knows them real well. He knows all their names, but only five of them he gets to know. You can know God, you can know who He is, but not know Him in that intimate way. You need to get to know God. Wake up earlier if you need to, in order to be in the Word and prayer. We need it in this day. Number two, separate from the world, but when you do, make sure you separate unto God. Number three, get your life right in your home. Let church be the thing of your home more than sports, more than technology, more than your Facebooks and anything else. Number four, witness. If it means getting up an hour earlier to be in the Word of God, get up an hour earlier. That's not wasted time. Eternity will prove that. Do some of the extra things. Look, we have men's prayer here on Monday night. Now, not just Monday night, but most Monday nights. Men's prayer, praying for revival. We have a breakfast and Bible on Tuesday morning, 6 o'clock. At 9:20, men and women can bring their sons and their daughters in and pray for the day's services. We have a ladies' Christian fellowship during the school year. We have a Faith Bible Institute that's already starting to sign up for the fall. We have church visitation. Now look. How soon is God going to judge? I don't know. But I'm just saying, stop trusting God. Stop trusting programs. Stop trusting what is cool and up to date and begin to put your faith and trust in the Lord. Walk with Him. Know Him. Serve Him. And determine, I don't care if the rest of the world goes the other way, I'm going to stand up for Jesus. Will you do that? Let's bow our heads, please. Jesus. Father, we've tried to preach Your Word as it is to men as they are. We're doing that because, Father, You put me here in this flock. I believe that I've preached Your Word tonight. But Lord, I love these people. I don't want one person in this auditorium to be ashamed at His appearing. So, Father, I pray that You help us to walk as You'd have us to walk in Your steps, in Your path. We got to get in Your Word to know that path and step. So help us to do that, Lord. Now, Father, I pray if there's one in this auditorium that does not know Christ as Savior, oh, may they come and receive Christ. We'd ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.